Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Good evening, everyone. And greetings in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, we're about to get into your word. And I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to be our guide and to give us, Father, the truth, the strength, and the power of this your word, so that we can gain knowledge and wisdom and in faith to walk not contrary to your word, but in accordance with it, reaching out to those that are in need and helping to bring them to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and their need for Him. Our Father, be with us throughout this day, and I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be third chapter now of 2 Corinthians. And most of these chapters in 2 Corinthians are short chapters, but they are filled with a lot of knowledge and ways, but it's also letting us know the problems that was with the first church, those early churches, the troubles and things they went through. And yet, today we've let our churches weaken down to a point that really, a lot of them are a lot worse off than those churches were. And they brought it upon themselves on what they had let in to the members of that church. And they are not stopping to think. And they're sure not teaching the Word of God. Because if they did, there'd be a lot of changes made in our church world. They're not understanding. All right. Read it again here now. Verse 1 of chapter 3 says, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. And he's talking about the epistle here of commendation, and he has put it to them. And such letters of introduction constituted a common practice in the early church, and due to prevailing social and political and their religious climate, such letters were both advisable and necessary. Paul here does not disparage their use. He can only be amazed that the Corinthian believers require it of them, because he knows everything they gave him has been the truth of the gospel. And he has spoken and shared it with them as the Holy Spirit gave it to him. And then when he would be with them, as the Spirit would speak through them to them. You see, a lot of people don't understand that just because some man that has a title and is an elder in the church, they don't understand that he is not always the one that is speaking. If he is a man of God, and that's what you should want and have within your church, he has the infilling and indwelling of the Holy Spirit with him. And it will share in the instruction and teaching of the churches, and will speak through him. A lot of people don't look at it that way. They don't understand it. Now, we pray. That's why we are told to study the Bible and to study it every day. It don't say just read it. It says study. And it tells us study to show thyself approved, a workman worthy of his hire. So you see, we are to spend time, and not just to read, but to study the Word of God, so that we can understand the truth of what God is saying to the church and mankind. But you see, this Bible is not wrote to the sinner out there. It was wrote by men of God as it was given to them by the Holy Spirit. And they are was to record it and send it to the church. That's what it's all about. Now, without that, That church is not going to stay a church of the Lord God very long. Now, forward. And such trust have we through Christ, the Godhead. Five. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. You see, the stronger you grow and the more you learn and the more of His Word you have in you, you're not sufficient of yourself. It is of God. That's the sufficiency that all believers should be walking in, is that sufficiency of God. Six. Who has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit? For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Now you see, talking about the New Testament, which is the New Covenant, it is both new in time and not being inaugurated until Christ. Think about it. You see, even though it was being set up, it wasn't inaugurated until Christ went back to heaven. And then on the day of Pentecost, it was all brought to its conclusion. And the Holy Spirit was sent back to mankind all at the same time. Now, you see, until Christ, and new in quality, providing better spiritual blessing than did the Masonic covenant. The Mosaic covenant. But of the Spirit, this expression corresponds to the thought of verse 3, contrasting with the Spirit. The contrast is between the external inherent in the old covenant and the internalism inherent in the new covenant. As you see, the letter killeth. But since Jews in the assembly at Corinth were concerned with Paul's defection from the Mosaic law, Paul here explains his position. The best the law could do was to condemn the sinner. It is not here implied that the law of Moses was evil. On the contrary, it is holy, just, and good. And this can be asserted because it brought men to the end of themselves and to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we go here to verse 7, it says, but if the ministration of death, written and engraved in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, thou shalt not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious. Now we know here they're talking about this glory that was on Moses. In fact, it was all over when he come down off of the mountains with those two tablets of stone that had the Ten Commandments on them that God had written with his own finger, as the Word tells us. And you know, pardon me. Still at throat. Now, we know that he had to even finally put a veil over his face because of the glory and countenance that was on him. Now here in 8, thou shalt not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious. And it should be. It won't shine on us as a light as it did with Moses. But it should cause so much change about us that those that knew us before cannot understand the change that has come upon us, and they will begin to start watching the things you speak, what you do, everything about you, because they don't have what you have, and they're wondering about this difference. And a lot of them will begin to cut you down, and they'll be proclaiming that you're putting on an act, that you've made up a story, and that you can't continue to live that way, that you're going to fall. And they'll watch for that fall. Let me tell you, and they'll do everything they can to help you to make that fall. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more does the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. 10. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that it dwelleth. 11. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remains is glorious. He keeps talking about this glory then here, which is the gift that's within you from Almighty God. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. Do we? Are we speaking plainly the things of God? Or are we still walking around certain things in our conversations? Because we're afraid it'll cause somebody to walk away from us or to leave us. But you see, that really is not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to share the truth, God's word. Seeing then that we had such hope, we used great plainness of speech. 13, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is established, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remained the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. You see, those that are still believing by the Mosaic Law, they still have that veil on their heart, because they are not accepting the new covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, 16. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. When we really repent and receive our forgiveness, and we bring the Lord into our life, we do that by asking him in, because we really want him. And when that happens, there is a joy there. Now, because we do have liberty, here in 17, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. 18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And you know, as we look coming down through the 13, 14, and all of those, and he's talking there about not as Moses, what follows is an allegation of the account given in Exodus. The veil was not intended to hide the glory, but to obscure it. And the people saw his brightness, but not directly. Not only did this veil actually conceal the full brightness of the glory, but it also concealed the end of that which it abolished. And the transcendence of the glory that accompanied the old covenant was not evident to the children of Israel. And for Paul, this is typically significant. So you see, the veil is upon their heart. And unfortunately, as far as the Jews are concerned, and as we are concerned today, Christ is still a stumbling block. They cannot see. For the apostle, this is no light matter. And a concern that caused him great anxiety. But now the veil is not so much on the revelation of the glory as on their own hearts. And we're finding this same thing today in a lot of our places and with a lot of our people that are calling themselves Christians and children of God. And we're finding they're not. Because they don't live by the law. And they don't live by the gospel. They have made a religion of their own unto themselves. Which actually, really when you come down to it, is a form of adultery. Think about this. You see, there is no gray area. You are either a born-again child of God or you're not. No in between. Now, you can be a child of God, a young child of God, and have very little knowledge, but you're staying in there and you're growing. And if you are in the right place and with the right people, you're growing a little each and every day. But you are a child of God. You're not trying to make something else out of it. You are learning. It's when we decide, I don't need what's going on in either place. I don't need what's going on in these weak churches out here. And Pastor Tony, I don't need what you're teaching. I'm going to do it my way. That's your choice. But remember this. Your blood's on your own hands, not mine. Because I have told you the truth of what the Word of God has said. Now, it lays between you and Him. And you have the choice to choose how you are going to live your life. We are now done with chapter 3, and I pray you have got something good out of it, and I pray that you'll be with us tomorrow and back into His Word. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, others, I close your Word here. I thank you for it. Father, I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, I do pray for Jerusalem and Israel. I pray that they will have peace. And I pray more, Father. For them all, the Lord Jesus Christ, as their Savior, as their Messiah. And one day, Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. In this land of ours, filled with so much evil. And it was a land that had no excuse whatsoever. to the land that has been greatly blessed, Father, from you. There's been brought so much evil upon this land by those who are sitting in my places in our government that are filled with evil, and with those that are sitting in judge seats that has walked with them to help bring this evil upon our land. Now, Father, I pray for all of those that listen to this ministry and to this Bible study. And I pray for more day by day. And we are gaining with you, Father. But we need to be reaching more and more each and every day, Father, of our lives. Each one of us needs to be bringing others in too. Listen to these studies to help them become from darkness to light, or if they're weak in knowledge, to help them to gain in knowledge and wisdom so that they can do more also, Father, with the Lord our God. Make this ministry the mighty ministry, Father, according to your will and your ways. And I'm asking you, Father, to keep us all through this night and our families, all of our families, Father. Keep us through the night in health and in safety. And bring us back together again in the morning, Father, at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. This, Father, is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, everyone. I pray you have a good evening and a good night. And I pray to see you in the morning. God bless.